Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, March 6, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we are on page 65, third paragraph, or bottom paragraph, starting with, we went back through our lives. We're going to read one paragraph only this morning, and we're going to end with, our moments of triumph were short-lived. Today's readers are Lois P., who will be reading the text, Eileen M., who will be reading page 164, and Reggio is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and announcements will be Betsy H. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, March 5th, 2023, the Sunday special edition, is 20,021 or 20021. Lots of twos, lots of zeros. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,022. So 20022. All right. OA Preamble. Readers Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Gratefully recovered by the grace of God today. Here are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie B., and I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Stephanie, so much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered outside San Antonio, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Well, thank you so much, Reggie O. Thanks for filling in. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 65, the last paragraph that begins with, we went back through our lives, and that paragraph finishes with, our moments of triumph were short-lived, and we're only reading one paragraph this morning. I will now ask Lois P. to get us started and begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie, and good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us, and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. For me, this paragraph is very important because most of my life I did feel like I was a victim. And yes, many of us probably were harmed along the way, growing up and at different stages of our lives. But what this paragraph, what the truth in this paragraph brings to mind is that seeing the world in general as something that is against me or us, seeing that, yes, I may have been harmed, it may have been wrong, it might have been appropriate, but to hold on to a resentment and to keep judging that person for what happened to us maybe 30, 40, 20 years ago is what this paragraph is alluding to. Holding on to a resentment just continues the punishment of our own self. This is the way I see it. Thinking that the world has done something to me or others have done something to me because maybe a few people did, when I carry that on for the rest of my life, someone said this the other day in a meeting and I loved it, I'm still continuing to eat the poison and expecting the other person to die. That's exactly what resentment does. It prevents me from living in the moment, from being in the now, from experiencing the joy and the celebration that is possible when we are free of the resentments. That's why it says here, you know, as in war, the victor only seemed to win. I could have resentments against my former husband or against people who had harmed me as a child and as I was growing up. So feeling that sense of power, like I hate them, I'm angry, you know, yeah, for that moment I'm feeling, yes, I'm the victor. But who am I being victorious over? I'm still carrying the pain. I'm still carrying the resentment. I'm still carrying that tragedy that may have happened years ago, or maybe it was just 2 days ago when someone I think insulted me, all right? And I'm still simmering over that. Who is that harming? No one. No one but my own self. So clearing away these resentments opens the door to a whole new life, a whole new freedom, a whole new way of looking at circumstances, and truly how to look at other people, how we react with them, and how to, again, reflect back on our own self. This is what occurs when we work this step and we identify the resentments and realize we are not the center of attention every moment of everybody's life, and to free ourselves of those harms that may have occurred years ago, to free ourselves of that so we can actually begin to live in the light of the Spirit. So thank you for the opportunity to share.
Well, thank you so much, Lois P. Thank you so much for getting us started. And now is the time when we're going to get some names. Before that, although we value your experience, so we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday of last week, please allow others the time to share today. And also, we ask that you please, there's a lot of people on this meeting, hundreds of people, and if you could please keep your share to that 3 minutes, that would be awesome. And so now I would like to get some names. Who would like to share this morning? Bonnie B. from Minnesota?
Eileen M.
Okay.
Elaine G.
Sandy K.
All right.
Eileen.
I've got Bonnie B. I've got Bonnie B. Eileen M. Who was after Eileen?
Elaine G.
Sandy K.
Elaine G.
I've got Elaine G. And then was that Kathy K?
Sandy.
Sandy K. Okay.
Thank you.
And I can take a couple more.
Linda P.
All right, I've got
Gail K.
All right, and Gail K. And I think we'll stop there. And please make sure to let us know where you are calling from. I've got Bonnie B, Eileen M, Eileen. Wait, do I have Eileen M and Eileen G? If that's not correct, let me know. I've got Sandy K, Linda P, and Gail K. Okay, so we'll go ahead and start with Bonnie B, followed by Eileen M. Okay, I just started my timer. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you, everyone, for your service today. Bonnie B from Minnesota, gratefully recovered by the grace of God, went back through my life. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. This step terrified me because I knew nothing except hide, right? And when I sat down at a table with a piece of paper and this and a pencil and started asking God to show me the stuff that I stored in my inventory, it came flooding out. I had 40 pages of resentments and fears. Yeah, pretty sure I knew why I was doing what I was doing with food. 40 pages. But the coolest thing, or I guess the most aha thing for me, is that I could tell you very quickly when I sat at that table what the resentment was. I could tell you what the fear was. I knew what the cause was. It came out really fast. It was really obvious. And I knew what it affected. But I did not know I played a part.
I did not know there was a column four, and that was the golden ticket. That was the thing that set me free. You know, when I do a 10-step now, I did two this morning already. I immediately go to, what's my part? What is going on here, God? Because it's never the other person. Oh, I was really convinced it was the other person, but it's not. This is my reality. Hurt people, broken people are broken. I fall into both those categories. Everyone tries to show up as best they can. It's just that I had a Hallmark movie and I had a Once Upon a Time. And it just didn't pan out like that. But when I got to see that they got to show up, or they showed up as best they could, and that was none of my business, the only question I asked was, what's my part in that column four? That's where I got freedom. And that's where I crossed over, right? I crossed over into that spot of, I ceased fighting everything and everyone, because I turn them all back over and I just ask God, what would you have me to be in this moment? I win now. And I don't win because everything goes the way I want. I win because I do a very quick pivot, or I do a turnaround, as the big book calls it. And so best gift ever is this 4-step and this work that we have in front of us. Thank you, everyone, for your service. Super excited to hear the rest of the shares, and I'll pass.
You missed me, you ain't G.
We'll get to you, Elaine, but thank you very much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Next up, I have Eileen M., and then Eileen M. will be followed by Eileen G.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. I'm looking at the line, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. You know, interesting word, thoroughness. You know, I can be thorough and do this quickly. And, you know, the kind of the game changer for me was coming to vision and hearing that, you know, this is the 4-step is something we do very quickly. And I was encouraged to write down what was bothering me right in that moment, you know, right now. And, you know, I've been to other OA meetings in the past that, you know, members would spend a whole year on writing the 4-step, a year or more, actually. And, I tried that, and that really didn't really work for me, you know, A, because I'm a real compulsive overeater, and B, because I really, you know, had a short attention span. So I loved how, you know, I was encouraged to do this very quickly. And, you know, here's the thing is we never finish inventory. You know, I'm going to be doing step 4 through 12 the rest of my life. So, you know, it was really helpful to just write what's bothering you now, you know. And what I noticed was that the same patterns of reacting kept coming up. It was just different people and different situations. But, you know, it was always kind of the same defects, you know. And, you know, I love how it says, you know, we don't tell a story about the other person or the situation because, you know, that keeps me sick in the disease because it's too much focus on the other person. I have to look at, you know, how am I involved and how am I contributing to this? So that was really helpful for me also. And, you know, it's so important to be honest because if I'm not honest, you know, it's not really worth doing this, you know? The honesty is really important. And, you know, I also thought too, like what's been shared is that I thought I never really had any effect on anybody. I thought, you know, it was always the other person that was to blame. But this, you know, this is such a different way. And I'm really grateful for this because, you know, we always hear we're as sick as our secrets, you know, and if I'm not going to get well if I'm holding on to secrets. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. And I said Eileen G., but I meant Elaine G. Sorry, Elaine, I meant you. So next up, we're going to have Elaine G. followed by Sandy K.
This is Elaine G. from New York. Glad to be here. It's perfect that we're working on the 4-step because I'm doing the 4-step, you know. And talking about the 4-step, my sponsor's making it easy for me. 4 worksheets and we're done, you know. And I'm going to go over to Staples and get it printed out for my cell phone. But anyway, I was thinking about what the paragraph you read and about the resentments. I got a resentment toward my nephew. my dad, and then my brother and my sister. This is going on for years, So it's about time that I do this, and I think I just do it them on those three. That's enough. And I realized that I was critical of them. Oh, yeah, they did all this wrong, and I criticized everything they did because they weren't doing it my way, you know? And it'd be good to do this, even though I don't want to do it, it's probably the best thing for me, you know? And I don't know, I think that's about it for me, and thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Elaine G., and Elaine G. is from New York. Next up, we're going to have Sandy K., followed by Linda P.
Good morning. This is Sandy K., temporarily calling you from New Jersey. This has me written all over it. And I am a compulsive overeater in recovery for today. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. That was so scary for me, telling somebody my darkest secrets that either no one knew or just one or two people knew out of necessity. And so I wrote it down because I didn't even want to remember it. But I did because I wanted to recover. The only reason I think anyone does step four is because they want to recover. And I wanted to recover, and I still do today. I just wanted to be healthy. I wanted to get rid of all the garbage that was on my shoulders that I've been carrying around when I first came to program when I was, I think, 36. So I was as thorough and honest as I could be at that time. Since then, I mean, other things have come out, but I always believe God gives me what I'm ready to handle with Him. And so whatever came out then was all I could handle, and I did. But I was so used to being the victim. I mean, this was a very comfortable place for me to be. So what do you mean my fault? I didn't do anything. It wasn't until years after I got into program and vision that I realized where I was at fault. And it was such a like aha moment. And I'm no longer the victim. And when I feel like I'm the victim, that's when I have to do a step 10 and 11 and 12. Because being the victim is a red flag for me. Because I'm not thinking of what I did. I'm only thinking of what the other person did to me. And that's really important. So my goal today is just to be the healthiest person I can be. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. And that was Sandy Kay, temporarily in New Jersey. Next up, we have Linda P., followed by Gail K.
Hi, my name is Linda P., recovering compulsive overeater. I'm in Los Angeles, California. I just started, I'm in the middle of doing a four-step again. And this time when I approached it, I was actually relieved. I was like, good, I'm happy to see differently, because for me, it's always that seeing differently. the part that stuck out to me in the reading today was to conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. And I lived so much of my life like that, so much easier to, or at least I thought it was easier to blame and make the other person bad and wrong. But there is so much freedom in looking at my part. That's where that perception change happens, that miracle of looking at things differently. And the other part that stuck out to me was the more that we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. And that's what I see in my fourth step, is that self-will, you know, that wanting to do it my way, having an idea of how things should be, and that not being the case, and then fighting harder. And that's where all the defects, you know, my self-seeking will come out. And again, as said, it's just freedom to be able to see what the truth is. And that's what I'm in the middle of doing right now. So I'm very grateful for that and grateful for this meeting. Thank you. Yeah, this is Linda from Los Angeles.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. Gail Kay's going to go next, and then after that, we're going to get some more names. So, Gail, go for it.
Hello, everyone. Okay. This is Gail Kay from Southern California, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And thank you, everyone, for your service. The line that struck me in this particular paragraph is the one that says, sometimes it was remorse. When they're talking about resentments, it said, sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. And that's my story, you know, coming into the fourth step when I did, and I went through several, I had a overriding attitude of what's wrong with me. I wasn't mad at the world. I didn't even experience resentments in terms of experiencing them. I didn't even know I had any, because my overriding point of view was that something was wrong with me. And whenever someone did something to me, I interpreted it as I did something wrong, that it was my fault. And so I was driven by 100 forms of self-hate. Now, what I didn't know and what I – two things that really helped me with the fourth step was I had a sponsor, the sponsor I had, that I experienced this miraculous recovery with, she encouraged me to stay on the step that I was on at the time and not to go ahead. So when I had, in the past, when I had done fourth step, I always did it with fifth step in mind. And I was always worried about what somebody else was going to think, da, 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 da. And this time I was encouraged to stay on the step that I was on. And fourth step was just for me to take a look. And fifth step will be fifth step, but just take a look, Gail. And that created enough space where I could finally sit down and just take a look at what was going on with me. And what I didn't realize and what I discovered in that fourth step, just looking at it for myself, was that how much the self-hate that I had, I thought I was the only one that was suffering. I didn't realize how much that affected other people. I didn't realize how much I was living a very reactionary life as a result of how I felt about myself. Again, this was just a wonderful opportunity to interrupt the loop, interrupt that my mind that this is how it is. And indeed, I found resentments underneath the self-hate. You know, there were some. But it worked both ways. It worked to help me get in touch with the self-hate, the remorse, and the resentments, all three. So that was just something important and quite frankly miraculous for me to begin to see and unravel. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Gail Kay from Southern California. All right, if you have just joined us, we are on the bottom of page 65 in the chapter, How It Works, the last paragraph that begins with, we went back through our lives, and we read one paragraph finishing with, our moments of triumph were short-lived. We'd like to invite another round of people giving names to share, and please remember that if you have shared on any vision meeting over the last three, so if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please allow others to share today. And if you haven't, we would love for you to share your experience, strength, and hope with us this morning. So who would like to share?
Jody Linda E. W. Las Vegas.
I've got Jody E. and Linda W. And we can take some more names. Who else would like to share? On this paragraph. Got awful quiet. Well, why don't we go with those two, and then we'll get to our name. So, Jody E., if you could, you're up. You go next.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in California. So the first line says, we went back through our lives. Sometimes I notice not everybody wants to do that. They want to just look at what's going on right now, which is fine. I think if you've done an inventory in the past that included your whole life and you've gotten over those resentments. But if you haven't, I think it is important to go back all the way to the beginning. For example, I myself, as a student in grammar school, could be a bully. And I need to look at that, at the harm that I did others back in grammar school. Nothing counts but thoroughness and honesty, so I don't want to leave anything out. I really don't. I want to recover. I want to experience the promises of this program, so I want to be diligent and try to find everything. The other point that has already been mentioned, but I also want to mention, is that, yes, sometimes I am sore at myself. Sometimes I hear that I should not put myself on my four step, but I do sometimes. I do when I do 10 steps sometimes. Sometimes I'm just in a terrible knit because I'm mad at myself because I did something, I forgot an important appointment, or I was rude to somebody, or I did something that I just don't feel right about, and I do feel remorse. And if I can put that on a fourth or a tenth, why shouldn't I? Because it is resentment that I'm feeling. I'm feeling a feeling that I've felt before. I'm re-feeling it. It's this sense of shame, really, and perhaps taking it through the fourth step or 10-step process is going to bring relief to me and to others around me. So I don't really see why we shouldn't put ourselves on there. It's not the only person we put on there. But if we do feel that, why not? So that's what I have to share. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jody E. And then we've got Linda W.
Hi, Linda W. from Las Vegas. What great shares and what a paragraph. I think this says it all for me. When I win the battle and lose the war, many years ago, my sister would say, you turn things on me. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. I couldn't understand what she was talking about. Finally, I do understand it. I think I go both ways. I blame myself. I blame others. But more so, I blame myself. And that's when I go into my disease and I'm not too honest or thorough. And when I do that, I feel sick and full of remorse. And yet I go back to it occasionally. And it just is a vicious cycle. So, yeah, one day I'll win the war and the next day I'll lose the battle. It keeps going on and on. But this program brings me back to where I have to be. And doing a fourth step each time has been different for me. I see things differently. I see people differently. I don't have as many people on there other than myself. And you're all very precious to me, and I really appreciate it. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Linda W. from Las Vegas. And we have plenty of time, folks. We're on the
Joy B.
from page 65.
Joy B. California.
Joy D. from California.
Selena M. from Alberta, Canada.
Selena M. from Canada.
Natalie S. from Arizona.
I've got Natalie S. from Arizona.
This is Io M. A.
I've got the Io.
Okay, thank you.
And I heard one more voice in there.
Jamie M. from California.
Okay. And we'll probably hold there because that might take us to the end. So I've got Joy D., Selena M., Natalie S., IOA, and Jamie M. And so, Joy, if you're up, followed by Selena M.
Am I being heard?
You are.
I'm so grateful for your service this morning, so grateful for this meeting. I only discovered a vision back in April, and it's just been an answer to so many prayers, and I'm thankful to all of my fellows and all of you who are service. You know, I was in OA for 100 million years with 100 million meetings, and this would be the first fourth step I ever did recently. And what I'm realizing from listening to fellows and continuing to attend the meetings every single morning of my life, starting at 4 a.m. going through to 9, is that, you know what? I got to go back and do it again because I didn't rake it all up in a recent crying session and a recent relapse. Let me know that, wait a minute, there's more to be had. And yes, I am resentful against myself. I hate myself for all the years I have given to food when I could have been living my life, for the fiancés that I've given up, for the social events that I didn't attend because I had nothing to wear, for all of the events, for the career that I might have had as a singer but was afraid to partake of because of my weight, for all the things that I wanted in life, for the things I want now in life that I have to not have because of my weight, because of my overeating. You bet. I'm first on my resentment list. I don't know if I'm supposed to be, but I'm there. And I linger there. And what I realized in a crying session after a meeting a couple of days ago was, wait a minute, I haven't got this out yet. I still have a long list of things I need to delve into. So for that and for your presence, I'm grateful. I pass now.
Well, thank you so much. And that was Joy D. from California. Next up, I have Selena M., followed by Natalie F.
Hi there. I'm Selena M. from Alberta, Canada. This paragraph is very on point for me. I am just in the middle of my fourth step right now, and I'm in the middle of my column three and column four. I've been working quite diligently at it for a while. What I can say is that I feel like in my experience, I have had this is the second time I have went through my resentments. So I did a step study a few years ago, the second time, and both times my resentments have brought me to my knees. It has been a very, very challenging last few months going through some of these resentments that have really, really impacted my life, family estrangement and wanting people to be different than they are, wanting things to be different, wanting my life to be different, my mom to be different. And I was reminded yesterday with an outreach call to pray for the willingness to be willing. And, I remember when I was getting abstinent and I, went through a really challenging time getting abstinent, and I had to continue to pray for the willingness to be willing. And it just reminded me of, this is the exact same thing. This is just turning it over and just surrendering to the process and trusting that when I surrender, everything will be okay. Because it's hard. It's so hard to look at these things that I wish I would have done differently. So regret, resentment against myself, wanting things to be different, wanting my mom to be different, wanting my husband to be different, and just, just allowing me to have those feelings, but then also just coming to acceptance of letting that go, letting those expectations go, and trusting that if I can just give in and if I can just let go, that these resentments will go away. So, it's a challenging process, but Today I'm feeling hopeful. I feel hopeful every time I listen to these meetings. I get on these calls and I hear all of my fellows talk about their experience, strength, and hope. So thank you to you all, and I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you, Selena M. from Canada. Next up, we have Natalie S., followed by Ayo A.
Hi there. This is Natalie S., and I'm in Arizona. And so I've been in a sponge state, I would say, for the last weekend. And I have a few random thoughts related to this paragraph that God's been showing me. And so it's a real time sort of dilemma for me. And I'm grateful that God manages each of our lives differently, because I don't think he could have showed me all of my resentments at once. I feel like he led me through one phase and now I'm in a second phase, even though I just came into the program in December for the very first time. And so one of the things that I heard this weekend that was, it's really been resonating in my mind, is that pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. And for me, when my feelings act up or my feelings get hurt, the longer I stay in those feelings, they point me to suffering. And so one of the things that I'm really trying to do is, when I have those feelings and start ruminating about, you know, like similar to what you've all shared, how I don't like how my mom is behaving, I don't like what my dad is saying, I don't like what my children are saying, I don't know why this happened at work, that the longer I stay in that, the further I get away from God and doing his will and staying in what I need to be doing. And so as I look at some resentments specifically related to work and what God has for me next in my life, I do find a lot of hope in this process, and I'm grateful that I don't find it painful. Yes, I have regrets, and for me, I've adopted sort of this thought that I can sit where I am and feel regret that I did things differently with my children, and I want them now, and now I'm paying for the, you know, I've created the reality of it, and I want to change that reality. And I really try to just trust that God will change that reality the longer I can stay faithful to the process and not be so, not act out on the extremes, like be, oh, so gracious and loving, and then on the other extreme be just this wild woman who's like ranting about things. So anyway, that's just where I'm at today, and I'm grateful that there's people to help with this process. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Natalie S. And next we have Ayo A, followed by Jamie M.
Good morning. I'm Ayo A, compulsive overeater. I shared Thursday, so I'll be short. I just didn't think there were people sharing. But I have 8 days today, and I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. And I know that I could barely get through the 30 minutes of my prayer meditation because of resentments, trying to dominate my mind. So I know that what I've heard from people sharing today about working their fourth step and getting being thorough and honest is going to be so important for me, because I can feel, as I, you know, I'm not using, that the resentments are just getting louder and louder and louder. And I'm just grateful to hear people doing the work, because I'm looking forward to it. And as someone mentioned before, I was around years ago, and I spent like a year and never even got to like 7, 8 because I was just back in the food. And I'm feeling very grateful that I'm not relying on myself this morning, that I'm relying on the Most High to just help me put, you know, one foot in front of the other and be grateful that the obsession has been lifted. So thank you, everyone, for your service. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. And I'll pass.
Well, thank you, IOA from California. And congrats on 8 days. And stay for the last part and give out your number. And, yeah, you'll get lots of calls, IO. We've all been where you are. And next up, and it looks like Jamie M. will be our last share. So, Jamie, you're up.
Good morning. I'm Jamie M. I'm from Southern California. I've been listening for a very long time, but I've never talked because there's always a lot of people who want to share, and it's very nerve-wracking to me to share in a phone meeting for some strange reason. But the fourth step was, I've never done one in OA, but I did one in a sister program, and it was very eye-opening to me. And I'm somebody who's like always filled with like anxiety to like the point where I can't sleep or I can't like function, or it's very distracting. And I realized, you know, recently that was driving me to the food even more so, like in the middle of the night, or, you know, even when I said, okay, I'm done for the day, or had whatever resolve I had. So I just wanted to share to just try to help me get over my fear. I'm working on getting a sponsor and working the steps in OA, particularly the way you guys do, because I hear the recovery and I want what you have. So I just wanted to say hello. I pass.
Well, hello, Jamie. We're so glad you're here. And it looks like we do have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to share for 2 minutes?
I can, if nobody wants to.
And who is this?
Agnes from Southern California, Agnes A.
All right, Agnes, you've got about a minute and a half. Go for it.
Oh, no worries at all. I share on Thursdays usually, but anyway. So I'm smack dab in the middle of my four-step inventory. I had a 3-hour fest with my sponsor, and we didn't even I guess we got the heavy ones out of the way. And I just wanted to share that I made the effort to be, how did you say it, thorough and honest, just thorough and honest, and, you know, just do what it says, do it, do it, do it. And my goodness, my sponsor didn't say a word. I talked for 30 hours till I was hoarse, you know, reading from what I had written. We hadn't even gotten to the fears. But I just wanted to say that at the end of it, I don't know, when I was writing, I was shedding tears. You know, when I was giving it away, I was very peaceful. And I shared with my sponsor that I feel so much lighter. So much lighter, like a weight is being lifted off of me, you know, confronting these resentments. And somebody shared about win the battle, lose the war, and seeing this recurrent pattern of deficits that have been standing in my way of my trudge and my road of happy destiny. It just became so glaring, you know, like jobs that I had lost and exactly why. And just thinking others are wrong, it was never me. So, and the last thing is the remorse about my part in it. I'm also getting there, like I've been obese and what it has cost me, you know. So this is something that we should do, you know. It's not about pain and suffering. It's about relief and freedom. So thanks, and with that I pass. Do it. Don't delay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Agnes. Love it. Do it. Don't delay. Absolutely. All right. Well, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elaine M. please read a vision for you?
Hi, Elaine M., recovered compulsive overeater, New Hampshire.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.